Trading Club Update, Week 5. Welcome to this audio issue of Trading Club, published and copyrighted by Porter & Company, all rights reserved. Please note that this recording was generated via AI and may contain minor transcription errors and pronunciation mistakes. Throughout this issue, I may reference charts, graphs, and imagery that can only be viewed on our website at porterandcompanyresearch.com. The value of the Trading Club tracking portfolio settled at $126,123 at the close of trading on Thursday, February 5, up 26.1% since our May 30 launch. See the detailed portfolio snapshot below. We made one trade this week, the sale of one put option in shares of LandBridge NYSE, pound, on Thursday, February 5, based on our recommendation made on Friday, January 23, sold to open one LandBridge NYSE, pound, $55 cash secured put, expiring March 20, 2026, at $4.80 per share. Before getting into today's update, a quick note: we are now posting immediate updates for each trade we execute in our live tracking account at the Trading Club Forum, in the important Trading Club announcements section. If you haven't yet checked it out, click here to gain access and join the conversation. In today's issue, we review current market conditions and explain why we see reasons for caution ahead. We'll also take a look at the latest developments in artificial intelligence, AI, and make the case for energy as the biggest AI winner from here. Finally, we'll explain why not all software stocks are doomed from AI disruption, and why we remain bullish on our two software holdings. Playing defense pays off as volatility strikes. Defense paid off this week, with the portfolio holding up relatively well despite a 3% drop in the S&P 500 and a 5% loss in the NASDAQ Composite Index. Hedging positions in our covered calls and the Invesco QQQ ETF, QQQ, put options paid off, while energy and consumer staples outperformed. The recent strong performance of defensive consumer staple stocks, as tracked in the State Street Consumer Staples Select Sector SPDR ETF, XLP, versus the S&P 500, SPY, is a concerning sign for the bull market. Over the last 25 years, similar divergences have preceded significant market corrections, including in the lead-up to the dot-com bear market. Another warning sign is the spectacular unwind in many of the former momentum leaders in this bull market. This includes Bitcoin, which has dropped more than 30% this year and is now down 50% from its $126,000 high reached in October. October also appears to have marked the peak in the enthusiasm surrounding the AI trade. Back then, virtually any company announcing major new AI investments was instantly rewarded with hundreds of billions of dollars in market cap gains. Many of these deals centered around OpenAI, owner of the leading ChatGPT AI model, as the Wall Street Journal noted in an October 20 article. On four separate days over the past 2 months, the stock prices of Oracle, Nvidia, Advanced Micro Devices, and Broadcom soared after they disclosed OpenAI-related deals, adding a combined $630 billion to their market value in the first day of trading after the announcements in a November 7 Trading Club post titled "The AI Boom Unravels." We began writing about how the circular nature of these AI financing deals provided an eerie parallel to the late stages of the dot-com boom. The only difference was the sheer scope and scale of these arrangements, and how they all seemed to revolve around one company, OpenAI. Like the deal where Nvidia, NVDA, announced a $100 billion investment into OpenAI, which would then funnel that money into data center capacity from Oracle, ORCL. And then, Oracle would recycle the cash back into Nvidia chips for its data centers, essentially paying Nvidia for chips with its own money. And this $100 billion deal was just the tip of the iceberg. OpenAI has signed over $1.4 trillion in future spending commitments with America's largest technology companies. And as we explained back in November, that's a big problem for today's stock market and economy. OpenAI sits at the fulcrum of the entire AI CapEx spending spree that has fueled so much of the stock market rally and overall economic activity in recent years. Through $1.4 trillion in financing arrangements, OpenAI has linked its fate to virtually every major player in the AI ecosystem. Now, this fulcrum point is breaking. Last week, the Wall Street Journal reported that Nvidia's announced $100 billion investment into OpenAI has stalled, with CEO Jensen Huang saying it was never a commitment. This comes at a time when OpenAI is losing market share to Google's Gemini and Anthropic's Claude. Investors are becoming concerned about OpenAI's ability to make good on its $1.4 trillion in spending commitments. We can measure the market's skepticism through the lens of the share price of Oracle, ORCL, a company leveraging up its balance sheet to build data center capacity for OpenAI. Oracle's share price is down 60% since announcing the deal, while its bonds are trading like distressed credits. Likewise, Shares of OpenAI's single largest investor and key supplier of cloud computing services, Microsoft, MSFT, are down 35% from its highs in October. The market's growing sense of AI skepticism is not limited to OpenAI. Google parent Alphabet, Google, is widely viewed as the new AI winner poised to steal the lead from OpenAI. And yet investors are beginning to balk at the company's massive capex burden from its AI investments. Despite reporting on Wednesday that it beat earnings and sales estimates across the board in Q4, Google shares declined after the company stunned Wall Street with a forecast of $180 billion in capex for 2026. The number was 50% above analyst expectations and will threaten to push the company into negative free cash flow for 2026. We saw similar jumps in capex guidance across the hyperscaler complex, including a $200 billion projection from Amazon, AMZN, or well ahead of the $150 billion analysts expected, and enough to send the shares down 10%. This time last year, analysts expected Amazon, Google, and Microsoft to spend a combined $244 billion in capex. Now, that number is more than double, at $500 billion. And these massive capex budgets are not one-off events. They're becoming a permanent feature of the hyperscaler business model, threatening to transform America's leading tech companies away from their historically capital-light business models. So it's no surprise that investors are growing weary, with the entire technology sector coming under pressure. And it's a major shift in the market mood from last year, when investors cheered each announcement of new AI investments. Now, AI enthusiasm has turned into skepticism, with investors increasingly asking if the returns will show up to justify all the spending. And it's part of the broader backdrop of waning speculative sentiment across the market, showing up in the weak price action in everything ranging from Bitcoin and precious metals to technology stocks. Given today's stretched valuations and the dominance of the AI trade propping up the overall market, we will continue proceeding with caution and focusing on hedging the downside risks. Energy as the clear AI winner. The one trade we feel most confident in is energy. As the data center capex build-out continues exceeding all expectations, America will be consuming a lot more energy in the years to come. We're already seeing America's electric grid push to the brink, causing power shortages and high prices across the U.S., and last month, President Donald Trump announced on social media that he would make America's technology companies pick up the tab for their power consumption, instead of pushing higher costs onto consumers. This means that the hyperscalers will need to begin investing directly into additional power capacity, instead of drawing from the tapped-out grid. And the two key areas of the country that offer the lowest cost source of natural gas for baseload power generation are Appalachia and the Permian Basin. That means a lot of future demand growth for our Appalachian gas driller EQT, as well as our Permian-focused companies Viper Energy, VNOM, Waterbridge Infrastructure, WBI, and LandBridge, Pound. Given the attractive valuations and powerful demand backdrop for our energy holdings, we plan to continue adding to these positions on any weakness. Meanwhile, software stocks have become the biggest perceived losers from today's AI boom. The reports of software's demise are greatly exaggerated. Our two software holdings in Figma, FIG, and Cellebrite, CLBT, have taken a big hit in recent weeks, despite no negative fundamental news. They've become swept up in the broader fears of AI disruption that have crushed the prices of software stocks across the board. Historically, such wide-scale and indiscriminate selling across an entire industry usually spells opportunity. And I believe that's likely the case here, for selective software businesses, including our two holdings of Cellebrite and Figma. First, let's address the core bearish arguments against today's leading software companies. The first argument is that the productivity gains from new AI coding tools, like Anthropic's Claude, are driving the barriers of new software creation down to zero. By making it easy to create software from basic text prompts, these AI tools can turn anyone into a proficient coder. In this new world, the question becomes, where's the moat? These fears began surfacing this summer, when the bears argued that Fortune 500 companies might begin replacing their expensive enterprise software subscriptions with homegrown versions. But the far bigger threat came on February 3rd, when Claude announced a series of plugins that took direct aim at a series of existing software tools, including Legal Plugin, Offers Automated Contract Review, NDAs, Compliance Checks, and Legal Briefings, takes aim at legal software companies, like LegalZoom, LZ. Financial Analysis Plugin, designed to ingest raw data, clean it, and generate interactive financial reports and analysis, takes aim at financial data and analysis businesses, like FactSet, FDS. Sales and Marketing Plugins, aimed at replicating the consumer relationship management, CRM, software tools, like Salesforce, CRM. Now it's true that these new tools represent a significant competitive threat to the existing software companies mentioned above. But the market's response in panic selling every software company across the board was a massive overreaction, based on the irrational fear that Claude can let loose its AI agents to replicate virtually any software system in existence. The big misconception here is that Claude is using AI bots to recreate software from the ground up. What's really happening is that Claude is using a lot of existing software to create new functionality. For example, Claude's legal plugin uses Microsoft 365, Jira, Slack, and Box software to accomplish its tasks. The same is true for OpenAI, which is pursuing new agentic workflows that build on top of existing business application software, as shown in the following diagram. So what we're seeing is AI companies finding new ways to drive functionality out of many existing software tools. Yes, in some cases this will mean disruption of existing business models, but it's far from a death knell of the entire existing software ecosystem. But don't take my word for it. Take it from NVIDIA CEO Jensen Huang, who gave the following explanation in an interview earlier this week. There's this notion that the tool in the software industry is in decline, and will be replaced by AI. It is the most illogical thing in the world, and time will prove itself. If you were a human or robot, artificial, general robotics, would you use tools or reinvent tools? The answer, obviously, is to use tools. That's why the latest breakthroughs in AI are about tool use, because the tools are designed to be explicit. If you talk to software engineers, they'll tell you that AI tools like Claude are great for providing a type of autocomplete for code writing. But, like every large language model, LLM, these AI tools are prone to mistakes. This is a feature, not a bug, of their probabilistic design. They don't have true knowledge of coding. They rely on training data to guess the next line of code. So they can be very helpful in creating individual lines of code, but they aren't designing entire software systems on their own. This means that LLMs have accelerated the generation of source code, which is the version 1.0 of any software program. But that's maybe 10% of the work involved. What they cannot do is the other 90%, which is the maintenance, scaling, and integration of thousands of new features that get added into these systems over time. For that, you need full-time, human, engineers who understand how systems work, how to spot and debug problems, and who can be trusted to do things like security audits. This is why businesses like Microsoft have thousands of experienced engineers on staff, even though the basic user-level functionality of programs like Excel or Word haven't changed much for decades. Companies like Anthropic are not in the business of creating and running full-scale software businesses on top of their core AI focus. And neither are most Fortune 500 companies. It's simply much more efficient to outsource these tasks with software subscriptions, rather than hire full-time engineers to create and maintain your own custom software. That's why there will always be a need, and value created, from pure-play software businesses. So, two things can be true. One, many software companies will get left behind as AI unlocks new tools that disrupt their business models, and two, many existing software companies will thrive as key tools of the AI revolution. The hard part, of course, is distinguishing between the two. The key will be focusing on the companies that offer the most powerful tools, aggressively take advantage of the new functionality that AI offers, and have durable moats around their business. I believe all evidence suggests graphics design platform Figma, FIG, falls squarely in this group. Yes, AI tools can easily create one-off image generation and basic editing functionality, but this hasn't stopped Figma from growing, because Figma offers a complete design platform with a growing array of innovative new products and features that its customers are willing to pay for reasons we described in our recommendation of the shares on January 23rd. AI disruption remains nowhere in sight, as evidenced in Figma's 131% net dollar retention rate. This makes it one of the stickiest software products in the world, and a business model with an excellent history of developing innovative new products to drive more sales each year. Developing and maintaining these products are things that require full-time engineering staff, even with the help of AI coding tools. Figma also has a strong moat in its developer community, which acts like a global feedback loop. Every time a user publishes a free user interface kit or a developer builds a plugin, Figma becomes more capable without its own engineers writing a single line of code. On top of the added value from the developer network, Figma's engineers are at the bleeding edge of bringing new products to market in response to consumer demand. The key metrics we'll look for when Figma reports earnings on February 18th will be the revenue growth rate, dollar retention rate, and margins. As long as these metrics are moving in the right direction, we see no reason to sell. Next, let's consider the case of digital forensics company Cellebrite, CLBT, which we recommended on September 24th. Here, the moat against AI disruption is far easier to understand. Cellebrite's advantage lies in the intersection of proprietary hardware and physical device interaction, creating a barrier that general-purpose AI, like Claude or ChatGPT, cannot cross. Cellebrite has created proprietary hardware, like the UFT, Universal Forensic Extraction Device, to physically interface with digital devices. This hardware allows for bootloader exploits and physical extractions that require precise, electrical-level interaction with the phone's chips to bypass security before a single line of data can even be read by an AI. Another key thing to consider. In a courtroom, how the data was obtained is as important as the data itself. Cellebrite's physical process is designed to be repeatable and verifiable. It uses write blockers to ensure the physical device remains unaltered. The NCA's platform creates a forensically sound bit-for-bit image of the storage. An AI plugin running in a standard OS environment lacks the specialized drivers and cleanroom protocols required to maintain the legal chain of custody. As mentioned earlier, AI models are prone to hallucinations, that is, making stuff up. These might be a minor nuisance in business, but they're a catastrophic failure in the courtroom. Evidence must be proven to be an exact, unaltered copy of the original device. General-purpose AI tools do not have the capabilities required to present and maintain digital evidence in line with the federal rules of evidence. Of course, AI coding tools do make it easier for an upstart company to write the kind of code that could challenge Cellebrite. But even if a competitor replicated every hardware and software feature across Cellebrite's platform, they would still be playing from a massive disadvantage. Why? Because Cellebrite has ingrained itself into the global court system over the last two decades. Its methods are proven and widely accepted as the gold standard by judges and prosecutors. For law enforcement agencies, switching to an unproven competitor means taking a huge risk that their cases could get thrown out if there are any hidden software or hardware flaws that get discovered in the courtroom. Is it worth taking that risk just to save a few bucks? My bet, probably not. The company reports earnings next Wednesday, February 11th. Stay tuned for our next update, when we'll review the latest operating results. Portfolio overview. The table below shows all current holdings as of the close of trading on Thursday, February 5th. Note that we have added prices for our current buy/sell recommendations in the updated table below. A few notes on how to read and interpret this portfolio table. Please pay special attention to the action column, where we specify whether each trade is a buy or sell to open transaction. Next, the position size for each trade is equal to the current value of the position, with the exception of the cash secured puts. In the case of the cash secured puts, we define the position size as the total value of our future commitment to purchase 100 shares for each contract. This number is calculated as follows. Position size equals number of contracts x 100x put strike price. We use this number because it accurately reflects our total capital commitment, and thus our total risk exposure on the trade. For example, in the case of the Celsius, NASDAQ, sell, $40 put, the position size equals 1 by 100x $40 equals $4,000. We use this number because it accurately reflects our total capital commitment, and thus our total risk exposure on the trade. To see the current profit/loss across each open position and other details, please see the live snapshot of our tracking portfolio at the end of this update. Next, the links below will take you to each of the original recommendations in the current portfolio, including the 5 call contracts in shares of British American Tobacco, NYSE, BTI, which we covered in our inaugural trade series, here, and in a video recorded on May 30th, which can be found here, the June 2nd Triple Flag Precious Metals, NYSE, TFPM. Recommendation can be found here, the October 30th recommendation of the Invesco QQQ Trust, NASDAQ QQQ, put option can be found here, the July 24th recommendation of Philip Morris International, NYSE, PM, trades can be found here, the August 21st recommendation of Chipotle Mexican Grill, NYSE, CMG, can be found here, the September 2nd recommendation of the iShares Silver Trust ETF, NYSE, SLV, can be found here. The September 18th recommendation of PayPal, NASDAQ, Pipple, can be found here. The September 24th recommendation of the Cellebrite, NASDAQ, CLBT, risk reversal options trade can be found here. The December 19th recommendation of Nike, NYSE, NKE, can be found here. The January 9th recommendation of the Invesco QQQ Trust, NASDAQ, QQQ, put option can be found here. The January 13th recommendation of LandBridge, NYSE, Pound, and Waterbridge Infrastructure, NYSE, WBI, can be found here. The January 21st recommendation of EQT, NYSE, EQT, calls and Waterbridge Infrastructure, NYSE, WBI, cash secured puts can be found here. The February 4th recommendation of LandBridge, NYSE, Pound, cash secured puts can be found here. Plus, the following 7 trades published on Thursday, December 4th, can be found here. They are the purchase of 100 shares of Celsius, NASDAQ, sell, and the sale of one sell $40 cash secured put, expiring March 20, 26, the purchase of 100 shares of Booz Allen Hamilton, NYSE, BAH, and the sale of one BAH $100 covered call, expiring March 20, 2026, the sale of one Philip Morris International, NYSE, PM, $175 covered call, expiring March 20, 2026, the sale of one PayPal, NASDAQ, PIPL, $70 covered call, expiring March 20, 2026, the sale of two Viper Energy, NASDAQ, VASDAQ, BUSNUM, $40 cash secured puts, expiring March 20, 2026, the sale of one Chipotle Mexican Grill NYSE, CMG, $32.50 cash secured put, expiring March 20, 2026, the sale of seven Kenvue, NYSE, Cavu, $17 cash secured puts, expiring March 20, 2026. If you have any questions or feedback, the Trading Club Forum is the best chance to get a quick response from our team. If you haven't yet checked it out, click here to gain access and join the conversation. Alternatively, you can always email us at mailbag@porterandcompanyresearch.com. Good investing, Ross Hendricks, Porter & Company. Click on the portfolio to enlarge and view it in a new window. Thank you for being a paid subscriber to Porter & Company. We hoped you enjoyed this audio issue. In addition to this issue, you should check out our top three best buys where we highlight three current portfolio picks that are at an attractive buy point today. You can find the top three best buys under the Best Buys link on our site at porterandcompanyresearch.com.